Jerry Bader Show, 936. One other thought, not really necessarily on the 6th Congressional District race, but the state Senate race that is going to happen with, and it's important because Democrats still have eyes on capturing the state Senate. Joe Lightbaum was a very safe seat. Very few thought Democrat Martha Lanning of Sheboygan, well, Sheboygan County, would have had much of a chance against him. Democrats thought she did, but he wasn't seen as threatened by her. Well, he's gone. And the question does remain, who's going to run in his stead? Because he can't. He cannot run for the state Senate and Congress at the same time. Two have stepped forward saying they may seek the nomination. Both are from the Manitowoc area. This is the in the wake of Tuesday's announcement by Joe, two Manitowoc Republicans say they're looking at a run for the 9th. They are City Council member Jill Hennessy and Barry Nelson, who ran for the Republican primary in 2012 for the state assembly seat. Beyond that, 25th district. Beyond that, you haven't heard much about anyone else running. A name that I heard early on was Mike Lightbaum, with Joe's brother, you know, which would be from the Sheboygan area, and you would have the Lightbaum family name. I think, depending on who the Republican nominee is, that's going to be a much closer race, much, much closer than it would have been otherwise. I want to return to the talk of energy, which I've talked about quite a bit in recent days. We'll do that in just a minute. First, I want to make a prediction. The NFL schedule comes out tonight. Probably the most drama where the Packers are concerned is, will they be the opponent when the Seattle Seahawks open the NFL season on Thursday night? Except for Baltimore, because the Orioles wouldn't budge. The Ravens didn't get their championship in Baltimore because of a conflict, so they had to play on the road. And Seattle will get theirs at home. Here are Seattle's home opponents in 2014. Arizona, San Francisco, St. Louis, Dallas, New York Giants, Denver, Oakland, and Green Bay. A lot of people think Green Bay may get that gig, that they'll have to face the champs on the road to open the season on a Thursday night. I think if it isn't Green Bay, I agree with Jason that it would be San Francisco, especially after what happened in the NFC Championship game. The two teams are division rivals. They hate each other. It would seem to be a slam dunk. It really would. Unless you want to wait and see how their seasons unfold and put it later in the season. That's going to be a nationally televised game whenever it gets played. There's no question about that. And I would think a primetime game. I would think Sunday night or the Thursday night opener is what I would think. But I don't know. I would have to give the edge to San Francisco. If not, then the most likely I would think is Green Bay. I think it's either going to be San Francisco or Green Bay. We will find out tonight. Now on to energy. I've been preaching something in recent days, that our energy policy, as hideous as it is more than just an economic shame. It's a national security risk. If you think this is untrue, just look at Russia. Why do you think Vladimir Putin can threaten Western Europe, and he is, by the way, threaten Western Europe in the manner that he is? Because he holds the energy purse strings. That's why Europe, the European Union, the EU, produces very little of its own energy needs. It imports 80% of its oil, 80%, and 60% of its net gas. More than a third of the oil and 30% of the gas comes from Russia. You can see why Vladimir Putin isn't terrified of sanctions, because he believes that whatever the free world does to him, and I do, again, in the Cold War fashion, consider this the free world versus Russia, whatever the free world does to him, his trump card of providing Western Europe with much of their energy is more powerful, and he's just not going to worry about it. This has led to people saying, look, we've got to change our energy policy here. All of the nat gas that we are peeing away, we could be marketing overseas. There's a piece in today's Wall Street Journal, I won't read all of it, comes from the Secretary of State for European Affairs for Portugal. I'm probably going to mispronounce his name, so I'm just going to call him Bruno. It looks like McCase, perhaps, but I'm sure I'm way wrong on that. I don't know how to pronounce the A when it has the little umlaut over it. I have no idea. So he's Bruno. Bruno, right. I don't mean that any disrespect. I hate mispronouncing people's names. Bruno M. Again, he's basically, sounds like Secretary of State, or the counterpart for Portugal. Energy has always been central to creating a trade and investment bloc through the Transatlantic Trade and Investment Partnership. If a TTIP agreement can reduce wide differences in energy prices between Europe and the U.S., Europeans will pay less for energy, while American energy producers will finally be able to profit from the recent energy boom by selling at competitive market prices. We really haven't. We really haven't benefited to the degree that we could. Back to him. Trying to artificially hold down prices has heavy costs for domestic producers, encourages consumption, and dampens energy production over time. Yet, recent events in Ukraine and Russia have made clear that creating a transatlantic energy market is about more than economic efficiency. Energy cooperation has become an indispensable pillar of the Western security community, which has played a central role in maintaining peace in Europe for more than 60 years. Today, the European Union, as I said, produces a small percentage of its own energy. Only four countries in the EU, Portugal, Spain, Ireland, and Sweden, are able to do without any Russian gas. By reducing European energy dependency on Russia, both the U.S. and Europe will be better able to defend and promote their values while capturing the immense gains from greater economic integration between the world's two largest economies. During a visit to Washington this month, I could sense a new enthusiasm for focusing on a way to significantly increase American energy exports to Europe. Lifting U.S. export restrictions would be the first step, but we must also speed up infrastructure development, especially for liquefied natural gas. That's the only way you can get it to Europe, by the way. It needs to be liquefied. Back to him. The main constraint seems to be time. Six LNG terminals approved by the Obama administration still need approval from the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission before construction can begin. It could be years before shipments of LNG can make their way across the Atlantic, and then there is the TTIP. While talks are on track, this ambitious project might take 2 or 3 years to complete. He proposes a shortcut, and here it is. Given recent events in Ukraine, we don't have time to wait for the full trade agreement. Instead, Europe and the U.S. should begin work immediately on a separate charter setting out the main steps for creating a transatlantic energy market. This energy charter could be agreed on and signed in months, having a quick impact on the increasingly critical security crisis. A transatlantic energy charter should have four main chapters. First, it would immediately lift American export restrictions for oil and gas sold to Europeans. Second, the U.S. would commit to an ambitious program of energy infrastructure directed at creating the terminals and transport facilities to exploit the new energy market. The U.S. Energy Department could scrap individual reviews for LNG export facilities in favor of a single en masse approval and recommend to the FERC that it expedite all energy charter projects. Third, Europeans would make a similar commitment to infrastructure development. Europe already benefits from a high number of gas terminals, but cross-border gas pipelines and electricity interconnections are still lacking. There is no point in going ahead with a transatlantic energy charter without simultaneously completing the EU internal market in energy. For example, the Iberian Peninsula has the potential to become a major alternative supply route of gas from the across the Atlantic to the rest of Europe. Finally, the EU would have to make a genuine effort to bring its environmental and state aid standards closer to American practice. We understand that Americans would be frustrated if there was a blanket ban on shale gas extraction in Europe, and few countries have a ban now, especially if it is combined with government support for local energy producers. Both sides need to compromise, and Europeans are ready to deliver. Rarely has there been such a perfect alignment of economic security and foreign policy goals. He is exactly right. This is in everybody's self-interest. But everything that he's talking about, that America should do this and should do that, build the infrastructure, refineries, pipelines, terminals for export, all of that stuff is very unlikely to happen if conservatives don't shout what he shouted from the highest mountaintops. I will explain in just 3 minutes what the obstacles are and what Republicans have to do to battle them and how extreme, how really extreme liberals are in America on energy policy. It's 9:48.
For all things Jerry Bader, jerrybadershow.com.